Hey listeners, just a quick note before we get started. Fonny used a different microphone this week, so it sounds a little different than usual. Still perfectly audible, but just wanted to mention it up front, just in case it's a little distracting. We'll be back to normal next week, promise. Enjoy the episode! Hi, Vanya.
Hi, Mike.
How's it going?
Jansen.
I feel like, was it last week that I was, when I was editing, I'm like, we didn't even say hi to each other. We were just like, boom, like onto our first topic.
I know. That is really funny. Oh, hello. I greet you.
I greet you as well. Namaste. How's your week been?
It's been good. You know, we had Halloween last week this weekend, actually.
Yeah.
This last weekend. It was really delightful. It was great. The kids, we actually like trick-or-treated. We live in a new neighborhood. So I was like, is anybody going to be out? Because it's fairly safe, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're going inside anybody's houses and our kids are wearing masks and, you know. It was so much fun, Mike. They had it all set up on the street that's just catty-corner to our street. Is that, I think? Because we live on like a little weird short court. And I was like, nobody on our street except for us and maybe one other family had put lights up. And I went like, kind of, you would have been proud. I should have taken pictures. Darn it. It's gone now. But, you know, nobody had their lights up. And most of the families on the row that we live are all like teens. So that's like, they're too cool. So whatever. But the street catty corner to us.
Gotcha.
It was off the hook. People were all in their front yards. People had like fire pits in their driveways.
Gotcha.
And it was all outside. It was, the kids were losing their shizzles. And I was like, guys, stop running into the road or I will take you home right now. Because this street is not blocked off. There are cars, you know, there weren't any, but like right. There could be.
Yeah.
We had the really great time. Oh my God. And we had this other family, one of our really close friends from LA proper came and did the walk with us. And the little boy, he's so cute. He just turned 3. He ate so much candy that he vomited. And I was watching it happen. Like he was having once we got back, he was having like one bite of each candy and putting it down. And his mom's like, okay, slow down, buddy. And the next thing I know, you hear, I was worried he was, honestly, I thought he was choking. And I'm like, oh, please, please don't die in my house. And then he barfed a little. She was really fast. She cleaned him up. Anyways, it was just funny because he wasn't sick. He literally just ate too much. I mean, he might be overweight one day because he doesn't know when to stop. But I don't know. I'm kidding. But he's a bit of he was binging for sure.
Yeah.
A 3-year-old binging in front of me. Anyways, but we had so much fun. The kids dressed up cute. You saw the pictures.
Yeah. Adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in New York so long. Like, New York, a trick-or-treating, the kids, like, go from business to
exactly.
business, really. So, like, yeah, the idea of, like, going door-to-door. I mean, obviously, that's how we trick-or-treated when we were little kids.
You should come next year. Screw. I mean, I can't. First of all, I can't wait to hear your experience.
Oh, God.
But, you know, you should come out to the suburbs, and it's so much fun. And next year, I think we'll do, like, a fire pit in the front of our yard, too. Or, you know, fire pit in the front of our yard. I don't know what I'm saying. But it was really just, like, it was house party fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
Which I know you love.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being fun. We should look into that for next year. Yeah, I had a very weird, I mean, I guess I didn't say weird. I just had a not, I feel sort of bad because we've talked about Halloween last week and how much we both love it. And I did get to get dressed up. So I worked all weekend. I worked Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Ew.
And we, I mean, low-key had to dress up for work for Saturday and Sunday. And I had this whole idea of what I was going to wear, where I was going to get this blonde wig. Well, maybe I shouldn't say too much about it, because maybe I'll do it next year. Probably not, but whatever. But, like, the wig ended up coming, and it was not great. Which, of course, it wasn't great. I spent, like, $16 online and, like, bought this, like, wig that was clearly, first of all, for a woman's head. So it, like, did not fit on my giant head.
Oh. You do have a nice, large head.
I have a large cranium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a fairly large head.
You're one of them smart kids.
I'm one of the smart kids. And so I had to, like, I was like, well, I can't just wear this wig. Like, I have to do something with it. So at first I was going to, like, maybe do a headband or something. And then I kind of went through I talked about my Pile O costume that I have. And there was a hat. And I was like, well, this hat will work. And then I kind of, like, turned it into being, like, being like a dead person. I don't know. It was sort of bizarre. I can put up pictures or whatever. Like, I have a couple of good pictures. I think that I sent you. Did I send you a picture of the first day?
Well, I posted you of what you actually wore. I just shared it to our stories because I just thought you looked so dang cute.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of pieces. So it was like a wig and a hat and like this weird like vest that I had on. It, like, so it was a lot of like stuff. It was a little uncomfortable. So then the next day I don't know if you can see that I like sort of shaved the side
I
of
do.
My head.
I see.
So I had like kind of a mohawk going on and I just sort of like punk rocked it out. I shaved that. I like buzzed the rest of the back and then I just kept a little on top. So I'm trying something new. This is a new hairdo for me. We have a little thank you. I think that I like it. I'm sort of a creature of habit. Like I always just kind of like buzz it all off and let it grow back out. So trying something new. So Halloween was weird. Like I got to dress up, but I didn't do anything particularly Halloween-y because I just went to work. And I kind of brought this up last week that now I work in the village and legitimately like the parade goes a block from my work. Like it was right there. So Halloween night was kind of insane as far as like I was waiting tables outside. Like I was waiting tables on a sidewalk in the village and just like throngs of people. Like you could sort of tell that they had everything blocked off. So then when the traffic would stop, you would just like have this backup of people, just like huge crowds coming down the sidewalk as you're like trying to deliver drinks and food.
My God.
Yeah, it wasn't great. You know, I don't want to complain too loudly because I did not have the worst night of my coworkers. Like I know others that had way worse time than I did. Like there was another side of the restaurant where it was just even crazier than my side. Like people were literally just trying to like take people's food at one point.
What?
Or like walking by it. Yeah. And like just drunk people just like, can I have the rest of your food? Like it was just sort of that. It was that thing where I couldn't figure out if it would have been better for us to have just been closed.
Yeah, probably.
Or I don't know. Like I don't. Yeah. It just wasn't. It wasn't a great look for like the kind of restaurant that I work at. And we close, like, I think that I said this before, too, like, we close relatively early on Sundays. We close at, like, 9:30, and it was just crowded, and I was so grateful for that, because
sure.
I can't imagine what it would have been like to deal with people later than that, but it was just, then that also made for it being chaotic, because the streets were so crowded, and I want to say that my coworker, Jesse, and I, we closed together. I don't think we left until, like, 11:30. Like, it was a solid 2 hours of trying to get people to leave, and, like, a half an hour after we were closed, there was still an incomplete party waiting for their fourth person to arrive.
No.
And we were closed. Like, we had...
Mike,
yeah, it
no,
was just
absolutely
who
not.
Who would do that?
No.
Like, I feel sheepish when I go to a restaurant and they're going to close in 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, never mind. Like, I don't think I want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine going to a restaurant that's been closed for a half an hour and thinking...
I cannot.
It was just... Once again, I don't want to complain too loudly because it was fine. Like, in the end, it was fine. But it was just chaotic and it just wasn't fun. And
mm-mm.
Then I was just sort of like, I don't know. I guess instead of fun, I worked. And so I guess I made money. I don't know. It was a weird Halloween. It was a weird Halloween because while I did feel like I participated in some sense, I didn't really do anything fun. I literally didn't have a piece of candy.
Oh.
And I don't even care about candy. But I was, and my friend Katie, who I said this to, was like, you need to get a toddler. And I was like, yeah, I guess that would be helpful. Yeah, I didn't have a single piece of candy on Halloween. And once again, I don't really care about candy. But like a day later, I looked back and was like, I didn't have any candy yesterday.
I mean, it's a ritual.
Which was kind of a bummer.
A little shit.
Yeah, like I didn't carve a pumpkin this year. I didn't, like I put up my decorations and I took them down yesterday. Like I did the day after Halloween ritual of like, all right, take the Halloween decorations down. And I don't know. It was a weird Halloween. And like you bring up me coming to visit and that sounds like that could be fun because then I will definitely be doing something fun.
And
so.
Mike, what we would do, but because by next year, I feel like, please, universe willing, things will be back to normal. But Universal Studios has one of the most fun, like you go late at night and they've got like probably like over 20 haunted houses in different like styles. And we definitely will get the fast pass so we don't have to wait. But I went with Adam 2 years ago before times. And we had, and you know, I'm like so scaredy scared, but I think the jump out scares are so fun.
Uh-huh.
We had such a blast. So we would do that. And then they opened some rides late at night. So fun, fun, fun.
Fun.
Yeah. But actually, can I tell, one story I forgot to tell last week when we were talking about, you know, Halloween and working in bars. There's so many messed up things that happened to me.
You know what? I thought about this too. I was like, I can't believe we didn't share any of your stories. So yes, please
I just,
share at least one.
I just want to share the one where I had been working nonstop. And it was so busy. And we had two other people helping, plus my boss who was helping. And I hadn't peed. I'm like a person who has to pee like at least every couple hours. And I hadn't peed for like 8 straight hours. And it was at this point, I think it was like 10 or 11. And we still had more, you know, like tons of time to, we're open till 4 a.m. So I ran to the bathroom. I finally got in. And in the corner where the bathroom is, that one side bathroom that's near the men's on the right side, if you know Tom and Jerry's, It's really dark in that corner. And so I'm in the bathroom. It's a solo bathroom for the females. And I finally get out and I step in. God. I step, a woman, some chick, was crouched. Crouched down, urinating, just like on the door of the bathroom and then on my foot. And I go, what the hell are you doing? And she was like so drunk. Her eyes were like rolling back. I was like, I didn't do it, but I wanted to just, I could have easily just like nudged her to fall over in her own pee because I was so angry that I got peed on by a stupid, dumb Halloween rookie. There, I said it. Anyways, that's the thing. It's a rookie night for people to just get schwasted. I'm like, guys, you don't have to get like blotto. It was so gross.
I know. It's so, because then I'm like, am I old? Because I'm such a, like, I enjoy many cocktails. Like,
well, so I
enjoy,
do I.
But like, for me, I was like, you guys, it's like 9:30. Why is everyone out of their minds? Like,
yeah.
So in a way, it was kind of nice. I mean, once again, I didn't leave the area until almost midnight, but it did feel like, because I went home. I was like, I'm just going home. Like, I'm going to go home and watch it. We'll get to the movies that I watched later. But I feel like I sort of missed some of them. Like, I witnessed some mayhem, but like, got home before it got like too out of control. Yeah, it's weird for me to like be a proponent of like, don't drink so much.
Right.
But well, sometimes I, well, but like, know yourself. Like, either you can or you can't. And some of these people,
I know.
I just feel like I see certain people and I'm like, I would not be comfortable behaving that way. And I will fully volunteer that there have been a one handful of times that I have been very foolish.
Me too.
We've all had one or two. But like, if that's just your every time, I don't know.
It's like every Halloween. Anyway. Well, I did. And just to like make myself feel better, I took a bottle of Monarch vodka and just poured the entire thing on my shoe.
Nice.
I feel like I cleaned it. But I was so disgusted. I was just like, I don't understand why you're in the bathroom. I'm literally out of the bathroom. You could go to the toilet right now. You idiot.
But also, isn't there like a door to like outside right there? And not that you want people peeing in the alley, but that peeing in the alley is better than peeing in the inside. Like, that's so weird.
So gross. So
weird. So my only other thing for the week that I have to cover is we have to do a quick flashback to my last Wednesday, because I saw two shows. Yeah, I saw an off-Broadway revival and I saw a Broadway musical. I saw a matinee of Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Which was wonderful.
Was it?
I had such a good time. Well, okay. I'm going to... Oh, gosh, I have so much to talk about, but I will talk about the show first. It's such a great production, Vanya. I mean, I would love for you to be able to see it. I don't know how long it's going to run for. Like, these off-Broadway things tend to have kind of a short shelf life, but this one's doing really, really well. I will say that there has been a little bit of negative feedback towards the casting of the male lead, both in the original revival and the guy who's taken it over. And I totally get it. Like, Seymour Krelborn is supposed to be kind of like a dweeb, kind of like a nerd. Like, he's, you know, supposed to be a particular kind of character.
Okay.
And they originally had Jonathan Groff,
right,
who is like legitimately a damn cutie.
He's a
like,
snack. He's a snacky snack.
Yeah, for sure. And then he was replaced by Jeremy Jordan, who is like certifiably hunkalicious. Yeah. Like, they have brought in like two very attractive leading men to like play this sort of schlubby character. That said, Jeremy Jordan was so good. Like, before you even saw him on stage, like, you hear his voice, and I was like, oh, he's changed his voice. Like, he changed his mannerisms. He did a really, really great job. He has a wonderful voice. I mean, I will say there are, like, so many mentions about him being unattractive in the show, and I wanted to be like, I'm not buying it. I can see you.
Yeah.
We can all see you. But he did a really, really good job. Tammy Blanchard is playing Audrey, and if people know her, they would maybe know her. She won an Emmy Award forever ago for playing the young Judy Garland in a movie called, I think it was called Me and My Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And she played, like, the... like the Wizard of Oz era. And she was so good. And I actually have such a memory of the Emmy Awards that year, and she wasn't there. And I remember being so sad about that, because I was like, I knew she was, like, she should have known she was going to win because she was so good and she didn't have that moment. She also played June in the Bernadette Peters revival of Gypsy and was nominated for a Tony for that. We saw her. She was in the movie of Rabbit Hole with Nicole Kidman.
Okay.
And yeah, she played the sister. I don't mean this at all in a shady way. You have to get past the fact that it's not Ellen Green. Like, no one sounds like Ellen Green. No one has that voice. I thought that Tammy Blanchard's, like, character choices were great. She plays it very different. She very much is much more of, like, a tough New York broad, you know, like, she played it in that sort of fashion, which is great. It's a choice. Like, it was a bold choice. I really enjoyed her. Christian Borle plays the dentist. He has, like, 2 Tony Awards. He was on the TV show Smash. And he was great, too. He also gets to play all the little character stuff, which I know that I'm sure had a fun time with. I had a great time. I thought it was really, really fun. So I feel like you and Averyn had talked about the Broadway revival that maybe hadn't done that well. And I actually saw that revival. And part of the problem is, I think you also talked about this, is that you had seen it in LA. It's a small show.
Yeah.
It's meant to be on a small stage. Like, taking it and putting it in a 1,000-seat theater, it makes it feel diminutive. It makes the show feel even smaller than it is, because there's no chorus. I mean, I will say this version that I just saw, I don't know if this has been the case in other larger productions, but they did have, like, 2 people sort of playing chorus members, and it was actually the gentleman that I used to work with, Teddy Udane, who is also, so he it's 2 people that, like, are the plant. Like, it was also funny because I think that I mentioned that I directed a production of it years and years ago, but it was funny seeing these plants being like, I know how that works. Like, the technology hasn't really changed all that much. I'm like, oh, that's so fun. That's, like, literally exactly how we did it when I directed it forever ago. But so they had them play chorus members for, like, the Skid Row number. And so that was fun because it felt a little bit fuller. But still, like, that's the thing about that show, is that it works better on a smaller stage.
Yeah.
So I liked that it was an off-Broadway house. Oh, it was so funny. I was going to send you a picture. I mean, this is kind of a silly trivia thing, but they had all these pictures of shows that had played at this theater. And one of them was, I believe, the original cast of Vanities, which is, how Vanya and I first met, is that Vanya was in a play called Vanities and I did sound design.
That's amazing.
I took a picture. I'll send it to
Yay.
You. So it was super fun. I had a really, really good time. So I saw that as a matinee. And then for a night show, I saw the Tina Turner musical, and I can discuss my feelings about jukebox musicals, and I don't really mean that to be, like, a overall negative. My thing about jukebox musicals is that the point, I don't think even according to me, I think the point according to anyone who loves musicals, is that when you can't speak, you sing, when you can't sing, you dance. Like, it's the heightened...
Yeah.
The elevation of emotion. So my issue with jukebox musicals, because I've seen more than one in this last little stretch, is that a thing happens and then a person breaks into song that kind of sort of has to do with what's happening, but not really. Like, there's a specificity towards good musical theater songwriting that is just lost when it's like, well, now I'm going to break into this pop song, or now I'm going to break into this song that doesn't really have to do with the moment, but kind of, I don't know. So that's my issue with it. So I will say that I didn't love the show as far as that goes, but the energy of it was super fun. Like, it literally turns into a rock concert. Adrian Warren, holy, I cannot believe what this woman does. Cannot believe it. Her performance. And I have to say, she just won the Tony Award, and she could win the Tony Award based on her voice alone, and I would have been fine with it. She's also a GD star.
Really?
Like, her charisma, you cannot not look at her when she's on stage. Like, legitimately, if she's on the stage, like, you just want to stare at her face. Like, she has so much power in her face and her eyes. I'm over the moon for her. I cannot wait to see what she does next. She's not in the show anymore. Her last night was Halloween, which is part of why I rushed to see it last week. You can see her clip from the Tony Awards. Like, I would definitely, if you haven't watched that yet, like, check it out. She's unreal. And honestly, the show comes to what you assume is the end. And she does the whole, like, do you want to hear some more? And then they do a mini concert. And I'm like, no, girl, rest your voice.
Yeah.
But clearly she doesn't need to. Like, she's a powerhouse. So, those are the shows that I saw. And I had such a great time.
That's awesome.
Super, super fun. We had great tickets. Oh, Annabelle got us house seats for Tina, so our seats were amazing. I will say my seats for Little Shop were amazing, too.
Was it too close?
It was a little too close. I was, like, third row aisle.
It was the only ones that were available.
But, no, it wasn't too close as far as, like, I couldn't take it all in. It was too close as in, all right, so I was going to maybe save this for a do without, but I'm going to say it. I'll use it now to as part of my week. I consume a lot of liquid early in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be my jump-off point for this. So a ton. Like, I consume probably a gallon and a half, maybe two. Like,
God.
I drink a lot of water and a lot of liquids first, like, for the first couple of hours, like, when I'm working out, when I'm done working out. So literally on the train ride to the theater, I was like, oh, I kind of have to pee. Oh, this is a little nerve-wracking. It was fine. I got to the theater, did my business. Okay. Sat in my seat. And like 5 minutes before the show was going to start was like, I don't need to pee again. That would be silly. Like, I'm fine. It's not even a very long first act. I'll be fine. Legitimately, the opening number starts and I start into a mini panic attack. I'm like, I think that I have to pee. But you, first of all, they've given you notice, like, you can't leave the theater. If you leave the theater, you won't be let back in until. And I'm like, I'm not going to miss the show. Like, I'm going to power through. I'm going to be fine. The other thing was, I was so close to the stage. I was like, they're going to see me get up. Like, there's no way to, like, get up and, like, maneuver my way out. Anyways, I enjoyed the show. I will say I watched almost the entire first act with, like, a mild panic attack happening where I was just like, I don't want to pee my pants in a theater. And I didn't. I made it to intermission. It was just, but then I had a stomach ache for like the next like 5 hours just because I had worked myself into such a state.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't, that part wasn't great, but I'm not going to hold that against the show. The show was great. I had a great time. I had a really nice theater day and there you go. That was
great.
So there you go. That's my week. Peace story.
Mike,
and
I love you. I'm glad you made it through.
It was very nerve wracking.
It's the worst feeling.
So there you go. Anything you're digging this week in particular?
Yes. I'm going to sort of wrap up what I snuck in last week is
gotcha.
Summer of Soul. Well, actually, no, I'm going to do an honorable mention. I watched, two nights ago, I finally watched Free Guy, the one that you had.
Mm.
I loved it so much, Mike. It is
so good.
Like, because I think you guys know I love rom-coms, and it's you know what? It's, I think my favorite, like, sub-genre is rom-com fantasy, and that is what this is. And I just loved it. It was so great. Ryan Reynolds was so cute.
Yeah.
The other girl who I never remember her name, I'm the worst.
Jodie Comer?
Yep, thank you. She has such a, you know, her name is Jodie Comer, which seems, she's so exotic looking. I feel like her name should be like
know, right?
Elena something.
Anastasia.
Anyways,
yeah.
But it was great. I loved it. I loved it so much. Brought me joy. And it was, I think we did end up buying it because I was just like, screw it. I don't care. I'm not waiting for the rental. We'll buy it. And I'm happy I did because I will rewatch that. I will.
Yeah, it's joyful.
It was great. Okay, so what I'm really, truly digging, and I got to finish it, is the documentary Summer of Soul, or it's also known as When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised. And it's available to stream on Hulu, directed by Questlove, who I just love him. I don't know if you've done any research on him. He's just like one of the coolest people, one of the most musically talented people, one of the smartest and kindest. I just adore him.
Yeah.
So anyways, he it's like a concert documentary, and it features performances and interviews from people who attended and who performed in the 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival. And it had crazy, it was 6 weeks of like major artists. And I can't even, so 6 weekends. Each weekend had like Stevie Wonder, Sly and the Family Stone, Nina Simone, Gladys Knight, and the Pips, I think, B.B. King. And when I was singing to you earlier, it's like Fifth Dimension Aquarius. Aquarius.
Yeah.
But they had like, they had speakers, they had tons of gospel. And this footage, it is never before seen footage, was recorded and then shoved into a basement until like a couple years ago. And they made this, it's like, it's like the same summer that was Woodstock. And so I guess they were trying to like market it as like the Black Woodstock. But truthfully, it's better. It's because it wasn't just about the music. It was about this change in what was happening politically and in, I just can't, please watch it. I feel like as I was watching it, whenever I get that feeling, I'm like, oh my God, my mom needs to watch this. Every single person, I just, It was really good because you enjoy the performances, but then as I'm watching, I'm like, this, it's such a damn shame. I almost said that. It's such a damn shame that this was not televised or in the ether, because it showed history happening. And I don't know how to explain it, but like, it just showed that the Black experience in America, it was evolving and changing. And I don't know. It's really good. I just really watch it. Did you end up getting a chance to see it yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Well, I really, really, really do want to see it. And I've heard a good amount about it because, being the sort of NPR nerd that I am, Questlove has been on Fresh Air a couple of times in the last few months, and recently for this particular documentary. So I got to hear him talk about it, which so much of it was really, really fascinating just to hear him talk about it. So I'm really curious to watch it. I will. I'll try to watch it before next week.
Yeah.
I am very, very looking forward to it. It looks and sounds very, very interesting.
Yeah. It's you learn a lot, but you also experience beautiful songs, and you experience, like when you were just talking about Adrian Warren, about the charisma, you see that there's this one gospel woman, and I didn't recognize her. It might have been Mahalia Jackson. I'm not sure her name, but the way her and this other woman have this singing, it's just like you can feel the energy through the screen. It's gives me chills just to talk about it. It's beautiful. It's really wonderful.
Oh yeah. I'll watch it. I'll try to watch it before next week, because I do really, really want to see it. That's awesome. I love it.
What about you?
So mine is, I'm going to be fairly short with it because I watched the first episode of a TV show that I've been saying for a while that I was going to start. I started the TV series Black-ish.
Oh.
I just watched the pilot. Oh my gosh. It's so good. It's so smart. It's so funny. It's so interesting. I will say there are moments that I'm very curious to see if we revisit. There are moments where they sort of reference like not seeing color, which is not something that we really like applaud anymore. And I wonder if we'll, I'm sure that they will. I'm curious to see the evolution of the characters. I mean, it's so funny also watching all, because I then clicked on the IMDb page and I'm like, oh, they're grown up. Because like all these kids are so little.
Yeah.
And it, like, even you were talking about the actress who was at the Emmy Awards presenting and you're affinity for her, and I'm like, she's like 12, but you know, she's not anymore. Yeah. You know, so I'm excited to see that evolution. I'm excited. Tracy Ellis Ross, oh my gosh,
just a brilliant
like,
actress.
She's so good. I don't know her, like I really don't know her from anything, and like just her comedic timing. I love an actor or actress or anyone, like especially in comedy, who can kind of say a line where you're like, I would never have thought to say the line that way.
Uh-huh.
Where it's almost like a throwaway or almost like a coming at it from an angle that I wouldn't ever think of. I don't know. She's great. I super duper enjoyed the pilot. I can't say a ton about it because I've only watched one episode, but I'm excited to take the journey. I'm excited to watch it. Yay. I'm going to try to get it all watch so I can watch the final season live when it starts next spring. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Black-ish. Super, 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 super loved it.
Makes me happy.
Anything in particular you could do without?
You know, nothing in particular. It's a feeling, and I know I've talked about it before, but okay. So, there's a couple, I'm going to unpack this real quick.
Do it.
I have been feeling like I can't catch my footing. Like I feel like my spirit is not within my body, if that makes sense. Like I feel like my brain is in one place, my body is in another place, and my spirit is in another place. And I need to bring that back. I need to feel like me again. And it happens I feel like it happens all the time, a couple times a year, where I get out of sorts and I stop taking care of myself, meaning like I'm taking care of so many other people, of work, of, you know, devoting myself, which is my favorite thing, to our podcast, to the other podcast. But then I just stop working out and I stop eating well, and I stop eating at all, or I start only eating at night and drinking a lot, or not drinking enough water and not filling my heart up with things that inspire me. So what I could do without is this. It's this just like pattern that I keep going through. So this morning I took a walk. I finally got back and I'm going to do my best. But I think what I want to do, Mike, because when I was listening to one of the most recent Goop podcasts, I used to listen in the beginning and then it got kind of annoying. And so I started listening again. They have a new host and she's pretty good. I'm listening to this episode and they're talking about figuring out what you need, like looking inside and deciphering what is it that I need so I can take care of the people around me better or give to those people. Because what happens is I just get in a mode of like always, you know, I'm like, I think I even talked about this a lot, but I got to figure it out, Mike. So that's, it's a little bit nebulous as I'm talking, but I feel like I want to take a class or like go see some speakers talk about this kind of thing, because I really do love the idea of like bettering myself, self-help, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I lose it all the time.
Yeah.
So that's what I could do without.
It's hard. It's hard to hold on to those things. I always think about, this does not come from Oprah, but I know it from watching Oprah. But it had to do, I'm going to say it so ineloquently, it had to do with the idea that like our bodies are like a vehicle for our soul. And that when we get too far away from where we're supposed to be, that you start feeling that sort of like disconnect.
Ooh.
And I feel like I've lived that feeling for like 30 years, which I know I'm being kind of dramatic, but I think that that's, I think there's a validity to that, like where you're like, oh, I've strayed, like I'm here and yeah. I should be here. And it takes a lot of course correcting. And I don't know, it's something that I'm working on legitimately daily.
Yeah.
Like legitimately daily. I'm like, all right, I'm off. I've started setting an alarm and I'm not getting up super early, but like I have, like that's a thing that I've rejected because I've always been like, no, part of the joy of my life is that I don't have to get up early in the morning. And we've had this conversation too.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't, and I'm not going to punish myself when I do, because that's where my life is. But I will say that like setting an alarm and getting up a little bit earlier than I usually do, I have been like, there's so much time in the day,
yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that I'm even utilizing it correctly at this point, whatever that means, but I think it's just constant. And I don't mean that like in a negative way,
yeah.
But I applaud you for recognizing it and being like,
right.
All right, I'm not where I need to work on this. And sometimes it's little things like, yeah, going for a walk and just making sure that you're having a healthy meal,
yeah.
And making sure that you're doing a thing that means something to you.
And getting
whatever
enough
that
sleep
is.
And rest and having moments for nothing.
Yeah.
But also it's another thing that I'm kind of coming to terms with is the amount of shame that I just have and how I really will punish myself. So I think like when I'm going, I'm going to try and figure this out. And in this podcast, she talks about like doing audio, like trying to decipher what it is that you need. You could, you know, make audio notes or you can write or whatever, but I need to figure out what I need and not judge myself and forgive myself for needing something.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, Mike, but it's just so in me. And I'm such a driver, you know, like I'm always like, we're moving forward, we're doing it. But it's like, I need to be patient. And I think I just need to love myself a little bit more.
Yeah. It's a job. It's a full-time job.
It really is. How about you?
Yeah. So mine is, I feel like, I don't mean to project this on you, but I feel like neither of us tend to use works of art often as our do without. And I think that when we have, because I think we both recognize that art is hard. Like
yeah,
art is hard to
true.
Create and hard to always get right.
Like we're not going to shit on somebody about.
Right. So like the time that I think about yours was the Barb and Mar movie or whatever. And I think so much of that had to
yeah.
do with the fact that like we both have such love for those people.
Exactly.
That it's kind of frustrating when it like doesn't, when you're like, oh, this could have been better than it was or could have been. So I'm going to say this and then I hope I don't regret it. I just finally got around to watching the two newest Halloween movies.
Okay.
Bummers.
Really?
Bummers. Yeah. And it bums me out because I think that there's, and once again, this is just me. This is just my opinion. They made a ton of money. So clearly others enjoyed them. But I feel like the people that made them have this, like, we have such respect for the original films that we wanted to honor them. And I guess what bums me out is that in certain ways, they so do. Like, in certain ways, they have these moments that reference the early films that I thought were really respectable. But then on the other hand, there are just things where I'm like, I just feel like it's humans not behaving like human beings would behave.
Mm.
It's also just like, we put these characters in situations where I'm like, that doesn't even, I don't know. I was kind of bummed out by both of them. And then I'm going to say something else that's super controversial. And that is that I then went and watched the original Halloween. It is what it is. And it was made for no money. And it was very independent. I feel like we have like this sort of time sunglass where we're like, it's brilliant. It's very, there are good things about it. There are some pretty dumb things
yeah.
about it. Like you can go back and watch it and be like, I don't know that anyone would actually. It's fine. So there you go. Maybe part of my thing is like being just sort of disappointed with what they did with them. And then part of me is like, maybe you shouldn't judge the things you loved when you were younger too much. So I don't know. That's a little,
yeah.
I don't know that I landed on an exact point there, but that's sort of what I was kind of bummed out about this week of like.
That's fair.
And then there's even this thing where like, Michael Myers' character, where I don't think this is very spoilery, but like at some point he like kills these people and then he leaves and walks across a bridge. And then when they come and investigate, the people are like posed and dressed in costumes. And I'm like, did he put them in costumes and I just didn't see that? And then he walked across the bridge? Or did he walk across the bridge and was like, oh, I meant to put those people in costumes. I should go back and dress them up. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And then there's also the idea that there's this other escaped psychopath out in the world that I was like, oh, maybe he's dressing them up. And it's and then I don't think, and then I think we end up, I don't know, it was just weird. I was just like, this doesn't make any sense. Whatever, it's fine. That's all. I was just a little disappointed. That's okay. They made a ton of money. They don't care about my opinion, but
I care about your opinion, and I'm not going to see it because of that. I appreciate it. No, I wouldn't see it anyways because I don't like scary movies, but...
And then they also just turn him... I get that, like, the whole idea of Michael Myers is that he's evil, so, like, he's not a person, so he can do these, like, sort of supernatural things. But there are just moments where I'm like, that dude had some martial arts training.
Right. He's been practicing since the first Halloween.
Yeah, he really has been practicing. So we have an interesting... you had an interesting topic idea this week.
I was thinking about this a lot because I bought my first car ever in the fall after I turned... I think I was 17, but... I had had, so our topic is our first car, and mm-hmm. I was driving my dad's Bronco. It was like an 89 Bronco, which is a huge car, and it was really fun to drive. But when I bought my first car, like I bought it from a couple in Spokane, Washington, and I paid it off in like 2 years. And anyways, it was such a feeling of like, it was my, this sounds crazy, but the car was my friend. I named him Hercules, and it was a tiny, it was like a little Honda Accord, and it was like an, I think it was 80 something. It was a light teal color with tan seats, and I just, I missed that car, and I drove, I got 13 speeding tickets in that car. I had lots of boinkety times in that car. I drove all across, as you know, the Western Plains. And what else did I do? Why did I love that car? Well, it took me back and forth from college. And right before I moved to New York, I was planning on, sadly, like really, really sadly, I was planning on selling the car. And it was parked behind my dad's Bronco. And that night, a hit and run squashed the car, like into like a tiny... It was inoperable, like not, it was dead on arrival. And I was able to collect the insurance, which I guess in a way was a blessing in disguise, right? It was like a week before we moved to New York.
Wow.
But I missed that car. And we're in the place where we have one car and we're on, this is why I was thinking about it really, is because we're looking and, you know, I'm looking at used cars and I'm looking at new cars, but there's not a lot available for new because of the whole supply mm-hmm. chain kerfuffle that's going on. But yeah, what about you? So my question is like, do you remember your first car or was there a car that you had a emotional attachment to?
So I was never really a car person. I think that it's funny how when, you know, when you're little and your friends are like, when I grow up, I'm going to have a Ferrari. And
yeah.
I was always like, I would like to have a Toyota Corolla, something sensible that parks easily. Like I was just, and I really did eventually own, I think that I owned a Toyota, maybe an Accord. Is that a Honda Accord?
Well, there's Honda what Accord and there's Toyota Camry. That's another one.
Oh, I owned a Toyota Camry. Yeah. That's what I had. I was that guy. But that wasn't my first car. I eventually owned that car when I was in college. My first car was a Ford Tempo.
Yeah.
I want to say that it was an 84 Ford Tempo, but I'm seeing that they only produced them from 84 to 94. So maybe was I cutting edge? But I actually bought it. I mean, this would have been like not at all cutting edge. I would have purchased it in like 1994, something like that. It would have been my junior year. So maybe 93, my junior year in high school. And I actually bought it from my sister who charged me, I want to say like maybe $400. I bought it really,
oh my
really
God,
cheap.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like I think that she at that point had a new car and would just kind of wanted to get rid of it. So she charged me very, very little. But like I had to pay for it. I don't know if your parents helped you at all with buying a car or anything like that.
I had a job in high school. Mike and I worked at the mall.
Yeah, we worked at the mall. Yeah, I had a job. I had to pay for my own car. We had to pay for our own insurance, which eventually became very, very expensive because I did, in fact, total that car probably within a year. It was a very rainy day and I was driving down Gothels. The person in front of me slammed on their brakes and I slammed on my brakes and I hit the person in front of me and the person behind me hit me. So that car didn't last very long. And I will say my other memory of that incident is that the police asked if I was wearing a seatbelt and I said that I wasn't. And then I got a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt.
Oh no.
Which I think was one of my first instances of like, oh, sometimes you lie. Sometimes it's okay to lie. So that's
oh
all. Yeah.
God. That's crazy story. And also, Mike, always wear your seatbelt.
No, I always wear my seatbelt now. You know, I was 16.
I know. We were so dumb. I see kids in this neighborhood driving, and I'm just like, that's scary. 16-year-olds driving, yeah. That's actually scary.
It is pretty terrifying.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Yeah. So that could be random. Do you have anything random for us?
Well, no. You know, my random thing is that I actually really like cars. As I'm researching, I really like I have this idea of, you know, covering different cars with my husband one day, like, you know, for a show, a TV show. If anybody wants to pay us, it's great to do that. But I really do. I love to drive stick shift. I love 4x4ing in the mud. I like driving on a smooth road really fast. I like cars. Obviously, I don't want to, you know, be bad to the environment with like all the things that happen, but fun fact, and this is the random fact, buying a used car is actually pretty good for the environment rather than buying a new car, because what it takes in the manufacturing plant to produce that car, what emissions happen, is worse than driving an old
interesting
gas car. Yeah, that is actual fact.
Good to know. All right.
How about you? Do you have any random facts?
Yeah, my only random thing, I think that I might have posted this a while back, but it's a daily occurrence, so I thought I'd bring it up. When I wake up in the morning, my iPhone doesn't recognize my face. And I get it. I can't really be mad about it. But it happens every day. And I'm like, hey, iPhone, I know I look kind of rough, I guess, when I first get up in the morning, but you should know who I am.
Yeah.
That's all. That's my random thing. Vanya, it's been a pleasure. I don't care about cars at all, but I could talk about cars with you.
Thank you, Mike Jensen. I love you.
Someday I'll share the other instances of the cars that I've totaled, because there was more than just one.
Oh, okay.
So we'll do car accident stories another time.
Sounds good.
But it's lovely talking to you. So good to see you. I really like, even as your hair is growing out, I still like love that little,
I love the little blonde you have there. It's fun.
It's very cute. I love all the pictures that you're posting of you and Avran. They're great.
Oh, thanks. We did a photo shoot. It's real fun. Check out at Rom Crime if you care.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Oh, Mike, I love you.
Love you. Thank you, guys. Love you. It's been a fun episode. I hope everyone enjoyed. Thanks for listening. All right, bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avran and Vanya, alongside Avran Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
I'm obsessed that Jeremy Jordan is a certifiably hunkalicious. That makes me happy.
I mean, come on. We're not, that's, you know.
Put it on a t-shirt, Mike. Put it on a t-shirt.